Powerless over food, and my name is Margaret, and my life is unmanageable, and that's okay for me today because I do have a power greater than myself who's doing his best to restore me to sanity. And sometimes I try my best to cooperate, and sometimes I get it right. So my story, I came into this world with this disease. I'm sure of it. Before I was even conscious, my mother reported that I nearly died because I got into something and ate half a box of it, and it fermented in my intestines and it nearly killed me, and I was 3 years old. So I didn't ever have the ability to stop. And I ate everything. I was really one of these kids. Everything went in the mouth, everything. And it wasn't always food. I mean, she told me that, well, I was born in Chicago, and I was born right before World War II. I'm 81 and a half at this point. 3 weeks before World War II, I was born, and my father went away, overseas, as many did. He was gone for 2 years, and so my mom was alone, and she told me that there was an incident still of no memory. I had evidently swallowed a safety pin, and it was open. And she had to turn me upside down, and a neighbor had to hit me on the back to get me to throw it up. So I was putting everything in my mouth. Wasn't anybody's fault. I've been in OA a long time. I came in, I think it was January of 1978. So I've been around a very long time. And over the years, I've heard all kinds of stuff, about, well, I ate because my father abandoned the family, or I ate because this or that or the other happened. I got to tell you, I ate because that's what I do. It came to me naturally. It wasn't anybody's fault, anybody's doing, whether or not the parents were there or not, or whether or not my school friends were friends or not, or whether or not I was bullied. None of that mattered. Food was there. And yes, it was a comfort during bad times, but it also was a celebration, but it was also because it was there. And if it was there, I ate it, and I ate it all. And there were times when I ate it all and I threw it all up because I ate too much and my insides couldn't take it. So I come by it naturally. I've had it all my life. So I have a very high metabolic rate, and I'm small structured, I'm small boned. And when I was young, my mom used to call me tiny, and it was amazing how much food I could get down. They said I had an iron stomach and a hollow leg. I could just eat, 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 eat. But I do remember one thing about my youth. I did a lot of throwing up at night, a lot, often, and chunks of food that didn't even get chewed. I mean, I was like a wolf. It was just disgusting. But I was a kid. I didn't know. What did I know? It was there, and I ate it. I snuck food, I stole food, I lied, I hid. And that went into my adulthood and into my marriage and with my family, hiding things from my husband and my children. And I still have that tendency to do it today. Well, with my husband, my kids are all grown and gone now, and I've got grandchildren, and it's different now. If somebody wants something, they got it, and if my husband wants something, I sometimes hesitate, but mostly whatever he wants, he'll get that. So that's a recovery thing for me. So let's see what happened. Well, around 13, well, because I was so tiny and had a high metabolic rate, I never showed it. I was skinny, and my mom used to call me tiny. But around 8th grade, around 13, I was 5'1", I guess, and I weighed 110 pounds, and people called me fat. I got made fun of. And so I put myself on a diet, and it was, my father was always on a diet. I think he had our problem. And then my mother would put him on a diet, but, and then he'd go on the wagon and stuff like that. But I learned from him stuff like saccharin. He called them sugar pills. So I went on this 1400 calorie a day diet. I don't know how I knew about calories at 8th grade, but I did. Well, I was a growing girl, and boy, you just shouldn't do that to your body, I was very active, but I was getting fat. And so I put myself on a strenuous diet. I did strenuous exercise, and I remember doing the toe touching, and I remember the back of my legs hurting. but I lost the weight. And that was the beginning of successful dieting. It was basically starve and then go back to normal, what was normal for me behavior. It's kind of like somebody in jail. I only knew one person who did well in jail. Everybody else pretty much wants the heck out. So it's like going to jail on those five things that have very little calories and very little flavor. You all know all about diets and food. And then it was back to my normal. So up, down, up, down, up, down, 10 pounds off, 10 pounds on, 10 pounds off, 10 pounds on. 10 pounds might not sound very much to some of you, but on a very small frame, 10 pounds can make a really big difference in being able to breathe and get up the stairs and that kind of thing. So I hope you can relate to that a little bit. And that all went well. I just sort of stayed on the diet. I went on to finish my education, went to graduate school, became a teacher, did some traveling, met my husband, got married. We went on a honeymoon, 21-day honeymoon to Ireland, England, Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. And I ate myself across those countries and came back 20 pounds heavier, 10 or 20 pounds. I don't remember. How many people really remember what they weighed on their wedding day or whether or not they lied on their driver's license? People like me, you know, numbers. So what happened? Well, I had my first baby, lost the baby weight, had my second baby, lost the baby weight, and started gaining. And I was only 4 pounds up, but I thought, okay. And that's another thing, being on the scale all the time, crazy. And now it's an indicator of having to add food because my metabolic is still strong and I need a certain amount to, you know, be healthy. So I went on my diet and I wasn't able to stay on it. I couldn't stay on it even for one day. And it frightened me. And by God's grace, the God of my understanding, OA had just started 3 months before in Manassas, Virginia, where I live. So I went and I walked in the door and I was welcomed. It was the second meeting I went to because the first one I went to, I wasn't welcomed. And it was because I was a normal weight. And even then, OA was kind of new here and people there were kind of new. And it was kind of like the general attitude, if you look okay, what are you doing here? So I did go to another meeting, which was in during the daytime, and I was welcomed there. And I remember at the end of the meeting, they asked me for my name, and I walked out the door. I wasn't really sure whether or not I belonged, but I will tell you this. We didn't have our books there in those days. We had a big book and a few little pamphlets. That was all. And they were reading chapter 3 from the big book, more about alcoholism. And the only thing I remember was the line about, it's like losing your legs, you can't grow new ones. And for some reason that struck. And I came back and I kept coming back and I kept coming back and I've never left all these years. So what they told me to do was get a sponsor, do service, go to meetings. We had retreats. I remember one of the trustees from California came at one of our retreats. I did all that. Get a food plan. We didn't talk about nutritionists and dietitians then, but I was into organic gardening and all that and natural food because I almost lost my first baby and didn't know why. So I read everything I could about miscarriages. She turned 50 this year. She's fine. I got twin granddaughters, just turned 13. It's all good. But I was desperately ill and lost 10 pounds and throwing up all the time, all the way pretty much up to the end of my pregnancy. I was throwing up the pills that were supposed to settle your stomach. But at any rate, I read everything I could because I nearly lost her. I had to be on bed rest. And what I learned was I was nutritionally not in good shape. I was working for a volunteer organization. My husband was going to law school at night and working all day for the feds. And I was grabbing this or that or the other and working on weekends and you name it. And I was not in a good enough health to get pregnant. So the pregnancy was a disaster, but the baby came out fine. But I learned about nutrition. And so I had a really good food plan. And when I did go to a nutritionist years later, she asked me if she could use it as an example. So I was on the right track. But I don't recommend that to anybody to write your own food plan. I'm in agreement with OA. Go outside and get it from somebody who knows what they're doing and has studied it and is an expert in the field and can help you with what you like and what you don't like and how much protein you need and all that. And I'm telling you, this is what gives me really good health today. I'm recovering from two major surgeries, 3 hours worth in November. Not life-threatening, but necessary for a woman at my age. I won't go any further than that. I'm fine. And I got back to weightlifting and all that good stuff. You know, I'm doing everything. And people ask me how, and I'll tell you, it starts in the kitchen. That's how, you know. I mean, sure, you got to have good mental health too and a good attitude, but, you know. So OA, that's pretty much my story. You know, I'd love to say from day one I was abstinent, not true. A month later, some lawyers that my husband was in partnership with, one of the women had a dinner and she stuck a dessert in front of me and I ate it. I was in OA about a month then. So then I decided, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. And, you know, I'm still going to meetings. And, you know, at that point, you know, I was starting to learn how to, you know, I could be a sponsor at some point and all that. So I was doing all the tools, which are great. Our tools pamphlet itself says right on the cover, the tools of recovery, helping us to live and work the 12 steps. That's what was missing, the 12 steps. So I was doing my food plan and sponsoring people and doing all these good tools and on the phone and, you know, doing service and all that, and couldn't understand what was the matter with the rest of you people. Why didn't you get it? I didn't realize it was a gift to my higher power. I guess I didn't consciously think, but I just figured you told me what to do and I did it. I'm a good student, so I got my abstinence. Well, got pregnant with number three, got sick, and one day, because thank you, I had 3 minutes, I didn't have the spiritual foundation, which is in our program of recovery. And I ate what I shouldn't have, and I went 18 months into pure hell. And how did I get out? On May 14th, the night of May 14th, 1981, I was by myself and I said, God, help me. And I became abstinent that day, and I've been abstinent a day at a time ever since. Because it's all about step 11, in my opinion. It's about the 12 steps of recovery. You read the big book, page 45, it'll tell you what that book is about. To help you find a power greater than yourself who can solve your problem. What was my problem? I couldn't stop eating. And now I do. And it's by God's grace. So it's about the steps, all 12 of them. The first 10, in my opinion, lead me to the most important one, which is total surrender to the God of my understanding. And from that comes decent 12-step work and practicing it in all my affairs. I can't do it by myself. So every day I start with a recognition that I can't manage my life. There's a second part to step one. So I give it to my higher power and I ask for the help that I need to know and do what God wants of me today. And I pretty much do okay. And I'm happy and I have a sense of humor. And I'm married 51 years to my husband because he's a patient man and long-suffering because I'm not perfect. That's what it's all about for me. It's all about the steps. That's the program of recovery. That's my experience. It's about the God of your understanding, some higher power, not you, not the food, anything else you want. And that's how it works for me. So, and the traditions, because without them, we don't have meetings. And without the meeting, I die. And I don't want to die. I want to be alive. So I'm glad you all have a meeting here. I'm grateful that you read those traditions and those steps, because that's what it's all about. And we have a new pamphlet out on the concepts, which are fabulous. And we always have had the best discussions with the concepts, always. So that's my story, and I am sticking to it.